welcome again to the program that we call Plain and Simple. Today we're in 2 Kings chapter 2. We're looking at the end of Elijah's ministry and the beginning of the ministry of Elisha. Stay tuned for our broadcast. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "It came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." And in verse 2, he said to Elisha, "I want you to tarry here." And Elisha said, "I will not." So they went down to Bethel, it says. We find in verse number 4, Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I am going to Jericho." And Elisha said, "I will not tarry here." They went on down to Jericho. When they got to Jericho, he said in verse 6, "I want you to tarry here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And Elisha said, "I will not leave thee." And we read that they too went on. So this is the third time he said, "I want you to stay here, I want you to stay here, I want you to stay here." He didn't really want them to stay there. It was a test, as we will see. Well, we read, "And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too," that is Elijah and Elisha, "are standing by the Jordan." Keep in mind that the sons of the prophets stood afar off. Well, in verse 8, Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, they were divided, and they too went over on dry ground. Now, you remember that Elisha said, "I would like a double portion of the Spirit." Well, they talked and they walked and they went on, and it says in verse 11, they went on, they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot, and Elijah was taken to heaven. Well, we read in verse 13 that Elisha took up the mantle of Elijah. Now we hear the mantle fell on Elisha. That's not what it says. He had to make a decision. He had to take it up. There it was, laying on the ground. What are you going to do? Are you going to do it or not, Elisha? Verse 14 says he took the mantle and he came to the river and he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He smacked the water, and the Bible says it parted, and Elisha went over. Now, on the other side were those sons of the prophets. And what do we read about them? This is important. They were there to view, it says. They weren't there to get involved. They were there to view. Well, we read in verse number 15, "And they came to meet him, and they bowed themselves to the ground before him." We'll see how phony that was in a little bit. Then in verse 16, we read, "They said unto him, Behold, now, we want you to pay attention. There's 50 of us, and there's only one of you. So what we want you to do is to let us go in there." It could be that Elijah fell out of the chariot. He's on a mountain there somewhere. How dumb is that? You'll find that there's nothing good said about these sons of the prophets. Oh, we seem to think because they were in some school and they were learning about the Bible. There's not one thing mentioned in the Bible that they did that was any good. Now, God did mention here how stupid they were. They said, "Let us go and see if we can find Elijah. He probably fell out of the chariot." That's just dumb. Well, by this time, Elijah had been God's prophet for 55 years, and he spent the last year, 10 years, training Elisha in order to take his place. Both of these men were very, very sincere men of God. Now, I want to look at these tests that Elisha had to face here. The first one was at Gilgal, and he has had 10 years of training. Now he's going to do his exams, I guess. And we find it at Gilgal, when they got there, things had changed from the very beginning at Gilgal. When they crossed the Jordan, this was the first place of victory. This is where they camped, and this is where the Bible says the reproach of Egypt was rolled away after all those years of wandering in the wilderness. Finally, they had 12 memorial stones there. It was a great place. But things had changed. And the people, it was at this place where they said to Samuel, We do not want to do the way God said to do it anymore. We want to have a king. We want to be like the nations. Well, that was a major mistake, and they got into serious trouble as a result of that. And God said to Samuel, they have not rebelled against you. They have rebelled against me. Also, we need to understand that according to 2 Kings 4 and 38, it says the sons of the prophets were there. Now, we always talk about the school of prophets. I can't find anything about the school of prophets in the Bible. It always talks about the sons of the prophets. The focus is not on the school. The focus is on the students. And it says in 2 Kings 4 and 38, Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. Whenever you read about these prophets, they're either far off or they're sitting. They're not doing anything. They're just sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seize the pottage for the sons of the prophets. And we read in 2 Kings 4:40, there was death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. There's quite a lesson here. There many colleges today, many colleges where the sons of the prophets are there, and we find there's a lot of death in the pot. And so Elijah is testing Elisha here. Is he going to stay here? Is he going to be content to be here with these kind of prophets? He said, tarry here. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel, and that is exactly what Elijah wanted him to do. Well, in verse 3, we read the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Keep quiet. I don't want to talk to you. He understood who he was talking to, and he understood their heart. They thought they knew more about things than Elisha knew. Well, at Bethel, things had also changed. Bethel means the house of God. This is the place where Jacob wrestled with God, and he spoke to him person to person. It was a tremendous place. It was called the house of God. But things had changed there, too. In 2 Kings, that Jeroboam set up a calf, and they were starting to worship a golden calf at the place that used to be called the house of God. And so it was at this place where we read that some she-bears came out and tore up some little children. Why did that happen? Well, we read in the story that they came out and said, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And they were mocking Elisha. Now, were these little children, were they 8 or 9 years old, or how old were these little children? It's a very interesting phrase here. The Hebrew phrase, children here, is the exact same phrase that is used of Isaac when he was 28 years old. It was used of Joseph when he was 39 years old. It was used of Rehoboam when he was 50 years old. The same phrase is used when referring to the children of Israel. It was used for Elisha's servant. The word sometimes has been translated lesser. And so it is not talking about little children as we think of it. It is talking about some adults who were less than they should have been. And they were mocking Elisha. And there's quite a bit of surface information here that looks like it was the sons of the prophets who were coming out, these second generation prophets. You got to understand, these are not the prophets. Some of those prophets wrote some Old Testament books. These are the sons of the prophets. These are the second generation prophets. And they're possibly the ones, at least they came out of the city, it says, and they were mocking Elisha. And so earlier, when Elijah had come with Elisha to this place, he said, well, you want to tarry here? No, Elisha understood the hearts of these people. He said, no, I don't want to stay here. This is not where I want to be. And when he comes back later, we find out why. Here they are mocking him. Go up, thou bald head. Well, he said, no, we're going on to Jericho. And when you come to Jericho, once again, we read that the sons of the prophets were at Jericho. And again, in verse 5 and 6, we read the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Now, why the question and why the response like this? Well, I think the reason we have the question is, knowest thou? That has been translated perceive 18 times. In other words, do you understand what we understand? These prophets, they sons of the prophets, they thought they were so intelligent. In verse 6, we read that Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. So they go to the Jordan. And what did we find there as we read? The sons of the prophets, it says, were there. Another school. And they've got these sons of the prophets, second generation, what we would call fundamentalists. And they stood afar off. Stood afar off. Now, it's interesting, as we said earlier, nothing good is recorded about the sons of the prophet. The Jordan represents the battle of the Christian life. It represents a death to self. And concerning that, we read that the sons of the prophets stood afar off. Well, here's another test for Elisha. Elijah said, you want to stay here? He said, no, I don't want to stay here. I want to cross over the Jordan. I want to go over on the other side. And so while the sons of the prophets stood afar off, we read concerning Elijah and Elisha, they went on, they stood by the Jordan, and they went over to the other side. Well, when they got to the other side, we read in verses 19 through 25 that the men of the city came to Elisha and they said, look at the situation of this city. It looks good on the outside, but there's a problem with the water. Well, in verse 20, Elisha said, bring me a new cruse, put salt in it. They cast the salt in there, and he said, from now on there will be no more dearth or barren land, and the waters were healed. Well, the men of the city said it was a pleasant place. It really did look good. It was 5 miles from the Dead Sea, 14 miles from Jerusalem. It was a very beautiful city. It had many fruit trees. And there was aqueducts that channeled the water down from the mountains above that irrigated the fields. In recent years, 12 ruins have been found of these aqueducts at different levels. Well, the water from the mountain was poisoning the people, and it was poisoning the property. Actually, what it says in the Hebrew here was that they were barren. And so we find that the women were barren, and the animals were barren, and the fruit trees were barren. They were what the Bible calls they were miscarried. And so they seek the prophet. Oh, yeah, when there's enough problem, they'll come looking for the prophet. That happened in 9/11. You remember there was a tremendous increase in our churches for about a month or two. Elisha went on to Bethel, and there we read they came out of the city, and they mocked him, saying, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And we had here open disrespect, just absolute open disrespect for the prophet of God. And the Bible says in verse 24, he turned, that is, Elisha turned back and looked on them. He just looked on them. He tried to decide what he should do about this. And the Bible makes it very plain that God told him what to do. He cursed them in the name of the Lord. And the Bible says there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 40, and two children of them. Now again, we said this word children is used of adults all through the Old Testament, and it is used referring to the children of God in many cases. And so it says he looked. That means he considered. In fact, the word has been translated considered 22 times. It has been translated perceived 5 times. And then, in the name of the Lord, he did what God told him to do. He cursed them. He cursed them. And it says here that these two she-bears don't usually travel together. That's interesting. Came out of the wood and tare 40 and two of them. It doesn't say he killed any of them. It doesn't say that. He may have. It says he tear them. They went back to the city all ripped up, and maybe some of them were dead. But either way, sooner or later, we need to understand that when we mock God's people, and when we mock the prophets that God has sent, sooner or later, there is going to be a payday someday. Well, in our next broadcast, we're going to look at three kings who got together and went up to fight Moab and got into some serious trouble. And then, of course, once they got into trouble, they called for Elisha the prophet to bail them out. We'll have a look at this. Be sure and tune in tomorrow for our broadcast.